Hello, everyone, and welcome to day 8 of the Novena to Our Lady of Sorrows. My name is Ken Yuzinski, and this is my wife,
Janelle Yuzinski.
And the youngest member of the Yuzinski family,
Catherine
Yuzinski. So today we're looking at the 7th Sorrow of Mary.
That's right, the last one.
The last one. How did that sneak up on us all of a sudden? So we are once again going to turn to St. Bridget to see what she said regarding her personal revelations from Mary regarding this event.
After this, they laid him in a clean linen cloth, and I dried his limbs with my own linen cloth and closed his eyes and mouth, which he had opened when he died. Then they laid him in the grave. I would willingly have been placed alive in the grave with my son, if it had been his will. When these things were done, good John came and brought me home. Though I felt a grief over the death of my son that could not be compared to any other, I also rejoiced in my soul, because I knew that my son would not die again, but would live forever. And thus, some joy had mingled with my sorrow. Then they placed him in the tomb.
Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, just that he would not die again. Hmm. You know, I once heard, you know, the greatest form of healing is death. Like sometimes we just you know, really try to avoid death at all cost. And yet sometimes God calls us home, and that is the greatest form of healing. Not that I'm like wishing death on anybody, of course, nor have I experienced the sorrow of losing someone very close to me.
Mm. But I think it's also true in the spiritual life that when you die to yourself, that is the greatest form of healing.
Mm.
Because then when you die to yourself, as in the words of St. John the Baptist, I must decrease so that he must increase. Unless mm-hmm. we die to ourselves, the life of Christ cannot rise within us.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just thought it was interesting how Mary would have even had wanted to go into the tomb with Jesus. Mm. It's just nothing that I would have ever considered.
Mm. I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah.
Because I had a thought on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think back to how the circumstances regarding Jesus' birth, he's born in Bethlehem. So I want you to go back to that time. And then you have two sets of people. You got wise men and you got shepherds. Wise men and shepherds. Shepherds who know nothing and wise men who know they don't know everything. Both converging upon the manger where Jesus is. What is Mary's response to all of this after everyone leaves? In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mm-hmm. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word kept, the Greek word means to treasure or to treasure up. So when Jesus is later older and he's preaching, what does he say about treasure? He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What was Mary's treasure? It was Jesus. So when Jesus was placed in the tomb, so was Mary's treasure. In other words, so was Mary's heart.
Mm.
You have one tomb, one body, two hearts. So Mary responds, I would have gladly, if had it been the divine will, climbed in there with my son. Why? Because that's where her heart was. You can't separate the passion of Jesus from the passion and sorrow of his mother because she treasured her son. Another thing that kind of stands out to me is even though this is a sorrowful time, there's still an ability within Mary to experience some sort of joy and some sort of consolation. That is something I don't have sometimes. I don't know about you, but I mean, we have sorrows in our life and sometimes it's difficult to find the joy in the sorrow. It's kind of ironic how the two can be there at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can still experience sorrow and joy. I never thought about this until actually just it's coming out loud here. But this is, I guess, what Mary is in her sorrow. She sees this as the divine will of God, but in the joy, her son will never have to do this again. The lesson for us, perhaps, is this. Is there areas in your life where you're experiencing sorrow in the absence of joy? There's just no consolation.
Mm-hmm.
Run to to Our Lady of Sorrows, because I believe she can obtain great grace for us to suffer with meaning and to suffer with some consolation. For even in this desolation, there was a consolation with the Mother of God. Mm-hmm. She knew her son was going to rise.
Yeah, so she still had hope.
She still had hope. St. Bonaventure speaks of this, that she knew that when Jesus was born, he was destined to die and to lay down his life, and that he would rise. She knew this. And so sometimes, well, Mary knew that, so therefore her suffering would have been easier. Hey, my friends, we know the same thing as Mary. We just know it after the fact. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. Not only that, we know he's going to come again. So we know all the promises that Mary did. We just don't believe them as perfectly as Mary has. Mm-hmm. So we have faith, but our faith has not been perfected. Mm-hmm. Mary's faith was. So what we do in our times of sorrow is we run to Our Lady of Sorrows to grant us the gifts of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love to be able to endure the crosses that seem to crush us.
Mm-hmm. There is the gift of the Spirit that goes along with this sorrow. And it goes along a lot with what Ken was just talking about, how Mary, though there was a little bit of, like, though it was an incredibly sorrowful time, there was some joy mingled in with the sorrow. And that's because there was a gift of wisdom. Because she knew what was to come.
So let's pray that chaplet and seek Our Lady's intercession. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. Thank you so much, friends, for watching this video. Remember to hit that subscribe button and bell so that YouTube has to notify you of our next video. And share this video on Facebook. Let's spread the good news of our Catholic faith. And thank you so much to our Patreon members who have allowed us to make these videos possible. You guys are amazing.